Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. At Buckhead Church, we are for Atlanta because we believe that God is for Atlanta. And these days, it's more important than ever to be known by what we're for. And we hope this podcast helps you in your life and faith. We want to help you find greater hope with fewer regrets because we are for you. If it's your first time with us, head over to buckheadchurch.org/new so we can meet you and send you a free For Atlanta gift on us. If you're not already receiving weekly emails from us, make sure to head to our website, scroll to the bottom, click Stay Informed, and sign up today. The best way to keep up with everything going on is to follow us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and download our free Buckhead Church app. But most importantly, I hope the following episode inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey this week. Enjoy.
Good morning, Buckhead Church. Thanks so much for being here this Sunday morning. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. My name is Rodney. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and we're continuing the message series we started last week, Life Hacks, and we're going to be looking at another one of those today. But in order to kind of get us there, I need you kind of help me and do a favor with me. I need you to just think back on your week. Like think back on the last 6 days of your life for a minute. And just think back for a second on what you did, how you spent your time, where you spent your time. Think about how much time you spent at home. Think about how much time you spent at work. Think about who you spent your time with, the friends that you spent time with. It could have been how much time you spent with your spouse, your partner, your kids. I want you to think back on the time you spent on social media this week and the media that you consumed. I mean, how much time did you spend on your phone and on Facebook? How many shows did you watch on Netflix this week? Think about what you ate this week. Just kind of take holistically everything that you did in the last 6 days. And as you're thinking about everything that you did, I want to ask you this question. What did you intentionally do this past week to make yourself a better person? Of all the things that you did, what did you intentionally do to make yourself a better person? What did you intentionally do to grow yourself personally? Right, you could have read a book, right? You could have written something. You could have just kind of carved out some time this week just to think about your life. Think about your habits, think about your behaviors, think about your attitudes. You kind of could have assessed your relationships and how healthy they are, thought about your marriage, your kids, your friendships. You could have been kind to someone this week, right? You could have been generous with your time, generous with your money. You could have encouraged someone at work. You could have done something physical, right? I mean, you could have gone for a run. You could have focused on eating more vegetables this week. You could have hit up a hot yoga class. However it is that you want to define something, what did you do this week to intentionally make your life better? And I want to make sure you focus on the word intentional. What did you intentionally do? All right, this needs to have been something you did this week that you knew going into the week you were already going to do. All right, this needs to be something you pre-decided. There was a plan in place. So if you were like, you know, feeling fat one night and you went on a run, that doesn't count. Right? If you're at your work and you're sitting in the office and someone shot you an article you need to read on Facebook and you read it, that doesn't count. It needs to be something you intentionally did ahead of time, knowing you were going to do going into the week. And when you begin to like think about this question, it's kind of an unfair question because I think I could speak for most of us in here because I'm speaking for myself. It makes you feel bad because all of a sudden you realize, how much do I intentionally do to grow myself? And I think most of us probably do very little intentionally. There's a lot of good things that we do, but there's not a lot of things that we pre-decide ahead of time that we're gonna do to grow ourselves personally. And that doesn't make us bad people. It just makes us normal people. This is how normal people kind of spend their days and spend their life, just kind of doing the things that are and reacting to the environment and the circumstances around us. But it still kind of makes us feel bad when someone asks you, you know, what are you doing to intentionally grow? So I want to ask you another question that hopefully will make you feel better. What about this one? What did you intentionally do this week to make yourself a worse person? How many of you guys like made some decisions today that just this week that were just like, you know what? I'm really going to ruin my life. I want to make myself just more undesirable to the opposite sex. I want more dysfunction in my relationships with my kids, more dysfunction at work. I'd love to just kind of up the crazy factor from about a 6 to an 8 this week. Love and baggage, love and regret. I wish I could have more of that in my life. I want to look back on this week and wish this week never happened. How many of you guys made decisions like that this week? Hopefully none of us, right? Because how many of us are intentionally making decisions to self-sabotage our life? All right, no sane-minded person would do that. But the reason I wanted to ask you those two questions is simply this, because no one would intentionally choose to make their life worse. No one would intentionally choose to make their life worse. But a decision to not make your life better is by default a decision to make your life worse. I can say it this way. A decision not to grow is in fact a decision to regress. A decision not to grow is like an unintentional decision to regress. And I don't know if any of us like have ever like kind of put these words around it, but I think a lot of us kind of intuitively know that this is true, that we're kind of moving in one direction or the other, even though we've never really thought about it this way. But even if we think this is true, this is not very motivating for us to make decisions that we know we should make in our lives in order to grow, in order to develop, in order to change our character in a direction that we want it to go. And I think it's not very motivating because even though we think it's true, it doesn't feel very true. Because on the days and the weeks where we don't make intentional decisions to grow, it's not like our life falls apart the next day. All right, when we don't make intentional decisions to grow, it's not like all of our relationships fall apart. It's not like our health falls apart. It's not like we find ourselves unemployed the next day. And in fact, I think the decisions, the days and the weeks where we don't make intentional decisions to grow, those days and those weeks don't usually look very different from the days and the weeks where we do make decisions to grow. I mean, most of the time, I think this is true, most of our days just kind of simply look the same. Most of our days, kind of regardless of our intentionality of what we're trying to do and build into our life, most of our days kind of simply look the same. And I think we know this, and this is why so many of us have a hard time doing the things that we know we should be doing in our life. All right, this is one of the reasons we're tricked into thinking that our lives are kind of stable, that our character is stable, and that we're somehow going to continue to move in the direction and end up one day where we ultimately want to be. We think we're going to stumble in to be the type of person that we ultimately want to be. We think we're going to stumble into the type of person that is going to have, that's going to surround themselves with successful, healthy relationships. But the truth is, we don't accidentally stumble into anything, right? We're not stable. We're either growing in our lives intentionally or we're regressing in our lives intentionally. Right, this is the old illustration that all of us know. It's like when you get into the ocean as a kid, they always tell you, you know, you got to pay attention. Because the undercurrent of the ocean is always just gonna drift you, is always gonna take you down the beach, and you're gonna have to really work to get yourself back where you go, where you need to be. And that's true of life, right? The undercurrent of life is not gonna take you in a positive direction. The undercurrent of life is always gonna take you into the area of ungrowth and regression. We have to work, we have to be intentional about the direction that we wanna go. And I know, I don't have to know you to know that everybody in here wants to grow. None of us are in here, and that's probably the reason you're sitting in here this morning, that there's something about your life that you know matters, that the decisions that you make matter, that your character and where it ends up matters to you, and the relationships and the health of the relationships that you're in, they matter to you. I want you to grow in the direction of growth. And so the life hack that we're gonna look at this morning is gonna help us intentionally move in the direction of growth. And this is the life hack that we're talking about. It's simply spending intentional time alone with God. It's just spending intentional alone time with God. If you want to get better, if you want to move in the direction of growth, and you want the health of the relationships in your life to improve, there is few things you can do in life to help you intentionally grow than this. And this is like classic Christian life hack, right? And this thing has like been around forever about the importance of spending intentional alone time with God. But I know that even though this thing has been around forever, few people do this. Few people do this. You can look at all the statistics and you can look at all of the polls and Pew Research Center, and they'll tell you very few people do this. Everybody thinks it's a good idea, especially if you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're like, oh, this is great. But the majority of us, and we're all adults in here, we rarely spend intentional alone time with God for the sake of growth or for the sake of the health of relationships. But there are a few things that are better than this. So before we talk about what this looks like, I want to talk for a second and give you guys just a picture, kind of define what I'm talking about when I say growth. Because when you say you want to grow, there's a million things that could come to your mind. There's a million definitions of growth, and they would probably all be right. But I kind of want to give us a picture of what I'm talking about. And this comes from the book of Galatians. This is from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to some of the Christians at the church in Galatia. And he was talking in this part of the letter about the idea that none of us are static. Right, he's talking about this idea that we're moving in one direction or we're moving in the other direction, intentionally or unintentionally. And the way that he talks about it, and the language that Paul uses, is very kind of first century Christian language, where he talks about we're either, you know, making decisions that are going to gratify the flesh, or we're going to make decisions that are going to be living by the Spirit. Obviously, gratifying the flesh is going to be regression, living by the Spirit is in the direction of growth. And if we continue to make decisions in our life about living by how God wants us to live and spending time with Him, there's gonna be a picture of things. There's gonna be things that are gonna develop in your life and my life. And if you've been in church for a long time, you probably know this verse. It's very familiar. And if not, this is such a great verse for you to know. This is a great verse to be introduced to in Scripture. And this is, it's found in Galatians chapter 5. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. But if we continue to move in the direction of growth, the fruit of the Spirit, what's gonna be produced in your life and grown in your life is love and joy, peace, forbearance, Bible word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And I think the Apostle Paul would say, and I think probably all of us in the room would say, regardless of like what you believe spiritually, if you're a religious person or not, that if you are the type of person that was developing this, this is the type of person you want to be. Like, this is the type of people you want to be around. Like, if you find someone that is full of love and joy and peace and patience, like, you should marry that person. Right? These are the type of people that you go into business with. These are the type of people, at the very least, you should follow on Twitter. Like, to do something to get involved in their life. Because this is an unbelievable thing to have developed in your life. And the Apostle Paul says, there's a way for you to live intentionally so that this character is produced in your life. This is possible for you if you want it, but it won't just show up in your life. That's the problem with it. These things are not just gonna show up in your life when you turn 40, right? There's a lot of things that show up when you turn 40. This is not one of them, okay? This is something that you have to be intentional about. Paul describes it as fruit. Right? And fruit is something that you have to be intentional. You have to plant, you have to cultivate it. A couple years ago, Jeff Henderson, who spoke here last week, he's the lead pastor of our Gwinnett Church campus. He spoke here last week. If you missed that message, it's so good on integrity. But a couple years ago, he spoke at the beginning of the year on the fruits of the Spirit. He's like, hey, if you want these things to be developed in your life, he goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick one. And I want you to focus on that fruit of the Spirit for the entire year. I thought that was like, this is such a great idea. And so for me, I pick self-control, and I'm not gonna air my dirty laundry in all the ways that I lack self-control, but I lacked a ton of it. And so I was like, okay, I want self-control. And then, you know, a month goes by, 2 months go by, and I hadn't really thought about it all that much, and I was wondering why these things aren't being developed. Because just because you want something, all of us want something, right? I mean, you can look at this, and you're like, oh my goodness, I've gotta have more patience. Like, I'm blowing up at work, I'm blowing up at home, I've got to figure out a way to make this happen, right? I've gotta have more joy. Like, just the news, and every time I open up my Twitter feed, it just sucks the life out of me. And every time I hear what's going on in politics, I've got to figure out, how do I get more joy? Look, wanting something and desiring something accomplishes nothing in your life. It's a starting point, and it's a good starting point. But if you want these things to be developed, you've got to do something, right? You've got to begin to put yourself and make intentional decisions to put yourself in an environment where these things can grow, where you can begin to ask yourself, you know, some self-reflecting questions so that these things can be developed in your life. And spending intentional alone time with God is important. It's one of the ways that you can do this. And this is kind of like classically, this has been called like a devotional time. You may have heard this growing up, or another word, this has been called a quiet time, or another word that's kind of out there is a meditation time. Like, it doesn't really matter what you call it. I think most of us in the room probably call it something like this, more of like a waste of time. And I wrote that just because I wanted to be cute, and you can make the decision if it actually was or not and if it worked. But here's why I put that down, is because most of us probably wouldn't actually call it a waste of time. Most of us would say that's actually important. But what we believe is actually determined by how we behave. Like, your actual beliefs are not what you believe. Your actual beliefs are how you actually live out in the world. And we look at the majority of us who don't spend time with God. I think our actual belief is we think it's a waste of time, because if we thought it was valuable, most of us would do it. And it is so valuable, because why would we not want to spend time with the source of everything that's good in our lives? Why would we not want to spend time with the source of love and joy and peace and patience, the one who can cultivate it, the one who can develop it in our lives? This is the type of people we want to become, right? When you think about who you want to be in 5 years or 10 years and 15 years, I mean, I think we've all got our financial plan. We've all got maybe our relational plan. We've all got all kinds of things in our health plan of where we want to be and what we want to accomplish. The fruits of the Spirit, that should be in your plan somewhere. Somewhere, as you think about yourself in the future, there should be something in that plan that goes, I want to be more loving and kind and patient. Right? I want to be more gentle, and I want to be full of goodness. I want to be full of self-control. It's not a waste of time. It's one of the most important things that we can do. And Jesus talked both about and he modeled the importance of this. If you read throughout the Gospels of the life of Jesus, so often in the mornings, Jesus would get, he would spend intentional time with his Heavenly Father. Then he would go out into the world and spend time with people. And why did he spend time with his Heavenly Father before he went out in the world? Because Jesus knew exactly what we know. The world's hard, right? It's difficult. It's frustrating. People are going to bother you, right? People are going to tick you off. Relationships are going to be a struggle. And Jesus knew he needed something to draw on. There's got to be a well of time reflected in his time with his Heavenly Father so he could actually go out into the world and be the type of person that he wanted to be. Spending time with Heavenly Father was one of the rhythms of his life. And he talked about the importance of you and I spending consistent, intentional time with our Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 6, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about a lot of the spiritual disciplines that, you know, people put in their life. He was talking about fasting, he's talking about giving, and he's talking about spending time in prayer, spending intentional time alone with our Heavenly Father. And he talks about the importance of this. And so I just want to read you a little bit about what Jesus says about spending intentional time with God and talking to him and praying with him. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, but when you pray, and I love that Jesus kind of says when you do this, as there's just this an assumption from Jesus that everybody that he's talking to would be praying. And I think that's kind of true. I mean, I think the majority of us, regardless of kind of what you, your spiritual background, a majority of us would say, like, you know, we pray. That we pray on a regular basis, right? We pray for our day, right? We pray for safety. We're praying for a job. You know, we're praying for the next promotion. We're praying for protection for the kids. We're praying for the guy in 400 to get out of the way. We're praying for the new, you know, praying for a match on our dating app when we get home. We're praying for all kinds of things. And those are great. Those are great. Like, we want to be praying for all of that kind of stuff. But the majority of our prayers and the things that we're asking for are usually in response to the circumstances and the situations we find ourselves in life. All right, we're kind of navigating life as we go, and depending upon how the relationship is going, and depending on how the job is going, depending on how the financial things are going, and depending on how health is going, those are going to be the things that start to consume our thoughts, our minds, and our prayers. Those are the things that we're going to start to talk to God about, and those are super important. You should always be talking to God and praying about the circumstances and the situations and the relationships that you find yourself in, but that's not the type of prayer that Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about a type of very intentional and very consistent prayer. He's talking about the kind of life that's the kind of prayer that's built into your life and that builds your life. He's talking about the kind of prayer that's a habit, something that you're consistently doing. He's talking about the kind of prayer that's a discipline, to use this word. To use a horrible word, right? This is one of the least fun words in the English language is discipline. And we all know what discipline is, right? I mean, these are the things that you're supposed to do, but you just don't want to do. These are the things that we're supposed to do, but don't want to do. Discipline, when we think about it, these are the things that we know we should, that our life would actually probably be better if we'd started implementing these things, that we'd probably actually be happier in a couple of years if we started implementing these things, if we just would eat better, if we would exercise more, if we only watch two shows at a time instead of two seasons at a time. We know our life would be better if we did these things. And the hard thing about this is some of us probably know people in our lives, and they just seem to be a little more naturally inclined to be disciplined people. And you see those people in your life and there's just something that's inspiring about them. You're like, man, I wish I could be a little bit more like you. Like, you simultaneously want to be like them and hate them at the same time. Right? Anytime you hear about, you have friends that are just like at 5 a.m. every morning, they're heading to the gym and you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I want to stick a fork in your arm. Right? It's just... There's just something with discipline that's just like a little bit offensive, right? It's just a little bit hard. But I think there, you know, it's one of those things that we wish we were just free to do whatever it is that we want, right? It's hard for us to be around the people that are naturally disciplined because we just go, their awesomeness just always has a direct correlation to how terrible I feel about myself. I just want to be free. I wish I could just eliminate the need for discipline in my life. We want to be free to do what we want. Right, that's in you, that is in me, that is in every human being, that desire to say, like, just quit boxing me in. I wish I could just be free to do whatever it is we want. I've got, like, such good news for you. We are free to do whatever it is that we want. This is true. You are free to do what we want. You're free to do whatever it is that you want. We just aren't free to do whatever we want and grow at the same time. We just aren't free to do whatever we want and grow at the same time. We will never stumble into being the type of people that we want to be. You will never stumble into having the type of relationship with your partner or your kids that you ultimately want to have. It's gonna take discipline, right? It's gonna take you limiting some of your freedom and incorporating a consistent time to work on your life. And here's the other great thing about discipline. Discipline works even if you do it with a bad attitude. Like even if you hate it, even if it's miserable, it still works. You don't have to love it for it to work. It will still work on you and it will still shape you and it will still change you. So Jesus says, but when you pray, and he continues, he goes on. He says, so when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And again, here comes Jesus. When you pray, I want you to go into your room. And one of the reasons Jesus is talking about this and wants us to go into his room is you got to understand prayer in the first century was a very public thing. Everybody prayed in public. They prayed out loud because they wanted to be seen as someone who was holy, wanted to be seen as someone who was righteous, as someone who was pious. And if you prayed out loud in front of everybody to hear, people would know that you are loved and you're favored of God, that you are trying. So Jesus, as he did with everything, he came just to flip the script and turn everything upside down. He's like, hey, when you pray, you don't need to be praying in public. But when you do it, I want you to go into your room, right? This is something, again, this is something that's deliberate. This is something that's calculated. This is something that should interfere with the normal routine of life. Go into your room. And then he's like, close the door. To which like some of this stuff is like when you read this, like Jesus, okay, just back off just a bit. All right, I was like, I'm in my room. I'm praying. I'm trying. Closing the door. This seems to be just a bit much. And I think there's such a great, what I love about the idea of closing the door, it just creates a kind of this word picture for me of like kind of shutting yourself in. And it's that idea that growth happens in a restrictive environment. Growth happens in a restrictive environment. And again, we all already know this. We know growth happens when you're restricted. We know if we're gonna grow physically, right? We're gonna have to restrict what we eat. We're gonna have to restrict the amount of time we sit on the couch, right? If we're gonna grow intellectually, we're gonna have to restrict the amount of time we look at our phones and are on Facebook and we're gonna have to go read a book, right? If we're gonna grow spiritually, there's gonna have to be things in our life that we restrict in order to grow. And again, the hard part about all of this, right? This is the reason that none of us do this all the time, is just because our initial response, our initial emotional response to restriction is negative. None of us want that. None of us want to be restricted. None of us wanted to be hemmed in. And none of us want to do it to ourselves. We continually want the freedom that we want. But if we could just begin to address it and approach restriction in a positive way and begin to see that, man, when I restrict myself, this may be one of the best avenues for growth and change that I could have in my life. I don't know how many of you guys ever watch TED Talks, but I consume a large number of them. And a couple of years ago, I watched a TED Talk by an artist. His name is Phil Hansen, and you may have seen this TED Talk. It's been seen by about 2 million people. And Phil's story is that he was an artist, and he began to develop a neurological disorder that caused his hands to shake. So, and shake to the point that he can no longer do the type of art that he loved to do. He went to a bunch of neurologists, went to a bunch of doctors. They couldn't fix anything. And finally, he went to this one doctor that said, hey, you know what, Phil, look, if you're going to do art again, you're just going to have to embrace the shake. You're going to have to understand the fact that your hands are not going to stop shaking. You're shaking. And you're going to have to figure out a new way to do art. And so that kind of like lit him up, right? He had taken a few years off doing art. And so once that doctor said that, he went out and he bought like all of these art supplies. He's like, I'm going to do art again. And he sat down with all his supplies and he goes, I had nothing. I was at a creative block. I couldn't think of one thing to do. And so he decided to do something unique, right? He threw away every one of the art supplies that he bought and decided, hey, what if I can do art with as little as possible? And he just did some of the coolest stuff. And so I wanted to show you a clip of this TED Talk. And I just want to give you a heads up that he takes his shirt off in this video. And you know, context is everything. So if a guy takes his shirt off at the pool, that's cool. But if a guy takes his shirt off in church, it can get weird. So I just want to give you a heads up that that's happening. So turn your attention to the screen and watch this clip of Phil.
And I realized if I ever wanted my creativity back, I had to quit trying so hard to think outside of the box and get back into it. I wondered, could you become more creative then by looking for limitations? What if I could only create with a dollar's worth of supplies? At this point, I was spending a lot of my evenings in, well, I guess I still spend a lot of my evenings in Starbucks, but I know you can ask for an extra cup if you want one. So I decided to ask for 50. Surprisingly, they just handed them right over, and then with some pencils I already had, I made this project for only 80 cents. It really became a moment of clarification for me that we need to first be limited in order to become limitless. I took this approach of thinking inside the box to my canvas and wondered, what if instead of painting on a canvas, I could only paint on my chest? So I painted 30 images, one layer at a time, one on top of another, with each picture representing an influence in my life. Or what if instead of painting with a brush, I could only paint with karate chops? So I dipped my hands in paint, and I just attacked the canvas, and I actually hit so hard that I bruised a joint in my pinky, and it was stuck straight for a couple weeks. Or what if instead of relying on myself, I had to rely on other people to create the content for the art? So for 6 days, I lived in front of a webcam, I slept on the floor, and I ate takeout. And I asked people to call me and share a story with me about a life-changing moment. Their stories became the art as I wrote them onto the revolving canvas.
It's such a cool picture of how a guy set parameters on his life. He set restrictions on what he was going to allow himself access to. And it exploded his creativity. Look, we've got to learn. Like I said, we're all adults in here. We all should have learned this by now. I'm 40 and I'm still struggling with this. But we have got to learn to set parameters on our life. And by spending time with the God who made us, it is going to unleash our growth potential. It's going to unleash the character that all of us ultimately want to have. When we come to God intentionally on a regular and a consistent basis and say, God, I need you. I want you to grow me. I want you to show me some things into my life. I need the relationships in my life to grow and to change. I don't want to have regrets 6 months from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. God, turn my life into something like beautiful art, something that people will look at and say, wow, I never saw that life coming out of that person. This is what we want. Right? We know what we want said at the end of our life. Right? We want people to stand up and say, man, they were loving and they were kind and they were gentle and they were good. No one's going to care about how much money we had, right? No one's going to care about how successful we were. What we want said about us is the things that we want to have developed in our life. I know you want to grow. I know you want to be the type of person that walks throughout the world and into the situations that you're in. And for people to go, how are you having joy in the midst of the situation you're in right now? Seems like everything is falling apart. How are you continuing to have patience in that relationship with your roommate, in that relationship with your family? How are you standing up under that? I mean, how are you continuing to give out goodness at work when it just seems like everything that's headed your way is negative and is wrong? It takes a type of person who spent time reaching in and spending time with God, reaching into that well of things that God wants to develop in your life so that you can live the way you want to in this world, which is hard. This world is difficult. And if we are not intentional about the type of people we're coming, that undercurrent of culture is just going to sweep us in a direction that none of us ultimately want to go. Jesus continued, he said, if you do this, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And Jesus is like, there is a reward for doing this. And he doesn't tell us what the reward is, but I think I have an idea of what the reward is not, right? The reward is not you get all your prayers answered, right? The reward is not you're going to get a new car. The reward is not God sees you spending intentional alone time with him and knows you lost your number. And now he's like, she's going to call you, right? That's not what's happening. But here's what I think the reward is. Here's the reward for spending intentional alone time with God. I think it's this. I think it's love and joy and peace. Patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. This is the reward of a person who makes a decision to intentionally spend time with their Heavenly Father to grow and shape their character and to grow and shape the quality of the relationships in their life. If you're a Jesus follower, like this should be your goal. said earlier, this should be in your life plan of who you want to be in 6 months and a year and 2 years from now. And if you're in here and you're not a Jesus follower and you're not very religious, this should still be your goal. You should still want to become a better human being. And you have a heavenly Father who wants to develop those things in your life. So many of us, and rightly so, so many of us turn to God when the things fall apart in this world. And I'm going to continue to do that. Like when emergency situations hit, man, I'm going. I'm hitting my knees. There is nothing wrong with that. But we should also turn to God when it's not an emergency, right? We should also want to develop that relationship with Him. And so if I want to develop those things and I want Him to develop the character inside of me, I'm going to move in that direction. Look, the bottom line is simply this. The people who grow have chosen to. The people who grow have chosen to. The people who are developing into the type of people that God wants them to be, they've made decisions to do that. They've disciplined themselves and put themselves in environments where that can happen. So how do you do this? How do you choose to grow? It's really simple. You just find a place and find a time. Just find a place, find a time. This is not revolutionary. Just find a time to do this. Find a time in the morning. Find a time in the evening. Do it on Wednesdays. Do it on Mondays. Do it 2 days a week. Do it 5 days a week. Just find a time that's convenient for you. Do it over lunch. Do it out in the courtyard of your office building. And then just find a place. You don't have to find the same place every time, but I think this is helpful. To have a place that you know, whether that's outside, that's in your room, that's physically in a closet, wherever it is. Find a place where you know this is where I do some work. This is where I shut out the rest of the world. It's usually helpful to not take your phone in there or your computer in there. And that's great if you can do that and you can stay focused and you can do some inner work with your phone there. I can't. It's just too many distractions with social media and email and whatever's happening, whatever, you know, shirt I want to buy on, you know, the sites I visit. Like, just find a way to keep yourself undistracted from the things that are going on this world. And a lot of us, I know why we don't do this, because we're like, I don't even know how to start. I feel so weird. I feel so awkward. Look, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do anything. All I know is emergency prayers. Help me, bless me, help me, bless me. Look, let me just kind of help you for a second. If you feel like you're doing it wrong, that's fine. Because we grow much more spiritually by doing it wrong than by doing it right. That's just the fact of the matter. We grow so much more spiritually by doing it wrong than by doing it right. So just sit down, find a time, find a place, say a quick prayer to kind of guide the trajectory of your time with God. And if you don't know what a prayer to pray, you can just pray this one. Okay, God, I want to know you more and I want you to grow me more. God, I want to know you more and I want you to grow me more. Isn't this a great prayer? Like, you know where I got this? I just made it up. Like, make up whatever you want. Say whatever it is that you want, but just something that kind of gives you a trajectory. And then when you're done with this, look, just spend a few minutes reading the Bible. All right, spend a few minutes flipping through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's a great place to start. That's a great place to engage. It's one of the best places to engage your Heavenly Father, just spending a few minutes reading through Scripture. And then just ask yourself a couple of questions. You can ask yourself, you know, what do I need to learn? What do I need to learn? What do I need to change? And what does this show me about you, God? What do I need to learn? What do I need to change? What does this show me about you? Can you imagine if you consistently asked yourself these three self-reflective questions on a regular basis? God, what do I need to change? Why is my relationships with my spouse this? Why are we in the same place? Not them. What about me? What do I need to learn through what I just read? I mean, these are great questions. You know where I got these? Again, I just made them up. Just made them up. Like, if you can feel like there's better questions, better self-reflective questions that you can ask yourself, do it. Don't go through life without working intentionally on your character and what you want developed. Don't do it. And when you start asking questions like this and you begin to start feeling the tension, when you feel tension in your life, that's where you need to pay attention. Wherever you feel the tension in your life, as you begin to work on yourself on a consistent basis, that's where you need to pay attention. Typically, when we feel tension, we just go, oh, I'm not going there. Wherever you feel tension, pay attention. And let me just speak real quick to kind of one of the reasons I think a lot of us stop doing this, and this goes back to the idea of, you know, most of our days are just the same. When you carve out intentional time with God and you carve out intentional time to work on yourself, there's so often you're not gonna feel any different. I do a lot of the cooking at my house, And I love to cook and I love to eat good food. All right, everybody love to eat? Amen. That's great. And I love to eat if I could go out to dinner every night and eat a 4 or 5 star meal, like I would totally do it, but I would bankrupt, my entire family. But I love doing that. There's nothing like a phenomenal meal, right? It can be like, it's just like a game changer. But most of the meals that I eat are not 4 and 5 star meals. Most of the meals that I cook at home, right? This is like homemade pizza and pot roast in the Instapot. And it's like, that's what we got tonight. And if I don't have that, I'm like, kids, it's hot dogs tonight. And no one has ever eaten hot dogs and been like, life-changing. But we eat a hot dog and we're thankful for the meal, right? That was decent, right? That was okay. But I would much rather have a steak, right? But I can't eat a steak every meal. But there's gonna be times that you spend time intentionally and it's gonna be like steak. You're gonna see things in your life that are game changers, that are life changers, that are gonna awaken you to some things that God's been trying to show you in your life. And then there's gonna be other days where you intentionally spend time with God and you're gonna get done and you're gonna be like, that's hot dog, right? That was just like, that was fine, but it was a meal. And it's gonna, over time, you're gonna grow. This is not a quick process. This is a slow process. So spend some time doing this. Start, do this for a month. Do this for 2 weeks. Do this for 5 days. Just carve out intentional time. Spend some time reading God's word. If you don't know where to start and you don't wanna do that, that's fine. Get a book. God can speak to you in a lot of different ways. Listen to a podcast, get a book, go outside. Find a place where you feel like you connect with God, but do some inner work. Ask yourself some hard questions. Ask God some hard questions about you. And I promise you start doing that, it's a game changer. This life hack will change the trajectory of your life and character, and it will improve your relationships. I want this so badly for everybody in the room. I want your life in 6 months, in a year, 5 years. I want your life at the end of your life to have been a beautiful piece of art that you walked through, blessing everybody around you with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Stop wishing to be better and spend time with the God who can make you better. I promise you will never regret the intentional decision to spend time with God.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you're an Atlanta resident, I would love for you to attend one of our weekend gatherings at Buckhead Church. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, please visit us at buckheadchurch.org. That's buckheadchurch.org.